How to become addicted. Oh, my gosh. This is a series that is kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's sarcastic, but, you know, it's a good teaching opportunity. We had somebody come up to us last week. If you were not here last week, you have an opportunity to listen to it online. But somebody came up to us last week and said, I did all five of those things. So you're batting 1,000. Lord, I just want to welcome you again to Community Life Church, and we're so glad we're gathered together here today to worship God, to glorify Jesus Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to invade our hearts and our minds. Amen. I just want to take this opportunity to pick on my sisters that are here today. Jenny and Julie, they are here visiting me from Idaho. You know, come on, yeah. They are the ones that gave me grief most all of my life, and that's why I was in counseling, because of them. I'm Yeah, they are my younger sisters. That's right. Oh my gosh. Well, we're going to continue this series here. This is part two of Five Easy Steps, How to Wreck Your Life. And today's title is How to Be an Addict. And we, just like Jason says, you know, I don't think anyone wakes up in the morning and says something like, man, my life is so great. Things are going so good. I'm just bored with that. I'm tired of being blessed. I'm tired of having a great marriage. I'm tired of being a good parent. I'm tired of being a blessing at church. So, you know, today I think I'm just going to wreck my life. Maybe if I drink some beer, you know, maybe have a little more wine, maybe I can get, you know, really work hard at it, you know, and then what could be really cool is that, you know, I could become addicted to it, and then, you know, man, just think about it. I could lose my marriage. Whoa, dude, how great can that be? And then maybe, you know, even then, I can ruin everything that I have. I lose it all, you know. I mean, I could, it's just like, man, I don't know anybody who wakes up and thinks this way. No. I don't. I don't think anybody wakes up and says, you know what, if I work really hard at this, I can start smoking cigarettes and work my way up to 2 packs a day, and then maybe if I can just keep smoking and smoking and smoking, maybe in a couple of years or so I can get cancer and die. Then I won't see my grandkids grow up or anything. Man, I'm getting excited about this. I don't think anybody wakes up and thinks this way. I don't. I really don't. I don't think anybody wakes up and says, you know, I know. I'm going to just start betting. I'll get some bets. I'll call the book. Do they have bookies anymore? All electronic, yeah. It's like sports betting now, you know. It's like, I think I'm going to go and make some bets, you know, and just, you know, just for entertainment, you know. It's cool. And, you know, whoa, I won. This is how simple is this? I think I'll just keep doing this, you know. And then you start to lose, and you keep betting and betting, you know. And now it's kind of like, oh, you know, if I just, you know, put more on there, then I can make up for all the losses. And, you know, then maybe I can, as I try to get more, you know, I can lose everything. Man, sounds like a good plan. Sounds like a really good plan. Yet people end up there all the time, don't they? Yes. Come on, we do. You know, today we're talking about 5 easy steps to become an addict. And the title of the series again is 5 easy steps to wreck your life. You know, it's kind of weird, but we see it happening all the time, all around us. All around us. And this is an important scripture. I want you to start off here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Take a look at this scripture. It should be on your outline. It's up on the PowerPoint here. I do want to encourage you to bring a Bible, read your Bible. You know, if you've come to this church at all, we're going to push you to read the Word of God, because the Word of God is life. There's wisdom in the Word of God. And if you are took the challenge at the very beginning when I said that if you keep reading a chapter a day, September 17th, you'll be done with the New Testament. Anybody follow that? Yeah, took it. Oh, I see everybody did. You know, maybe I should write this down. Another way to ruin your life. How to wreck your life. Just do the exactly opposite of what the Bible says. Look at what this says here in 1 Corinthians. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I will not be mastered by anything. This Greek word that's translated mastered, it's the word exoadzuo. There you go, folks. This is a tongue-talking church, so. But take a look what it actually means. It means to be controlled, or it means to be enslaved. The literal translation means to be under the power of something, to be controlled or enslaved by something. And you see, the reality is when somebody is addicted, they're mastered or in bondage, or they're enslaved by something, but yet intellectually, they know it's wrong. Okay? They know it's wrong. If someone has been controlled by buying things and spending things and going out to the mall, and you're standing there at the mall and you want this thing so bad, and you're writing this check out, all the while you know it's going to bounce. And your mind is saying, I shouldn't be doing this. I should not be doing this. But you hand that check over anyhow. Why? Because you're under the power of something else. It's dominating you. You know it's going to bounce. You shouldn't be doing it. Intellectually, you agree with it. But you do it anyhow. Or somebody who is a workaholic. You're working. You know. Now it's late. And you intellectually, you know you should go home. Your family needs you. The kids are waiting for you. But what do? You stay at work. But intellectually, you're saying, I should go home. My kids need me. Why? Because you're under the power of something else. You're dominated or enslaved by something else. Now, this is the first thing on the outline here that I want you to really consider. It says, what has mastered you? Think about it. What has mastered you? I want to challenge you to write something down. Because if we really are willing to judge ourselves, it's going to only cause us to break free. Right? What is it that dominates you? What is it that's bigger than what you think? And you keep saying, I could quit this anytime, but yet you still haven't quit. And it's a huge influence in your life. What is it? What has mastered you? You know, we've all heard the stories, you know, it's like we've all heard the stories. You know what? I'm an alcoholic. I'm addicted to alcohol, you know, or I'm addicted to porn. Or, you know, it started off just smoking weed, and then I started smoking coke, and then now I'm on this meth. I just needed to get through the day. Or how about this? I just can't stop checking my email. I just can't stop checking my Facebook or my Twitter. You know, if I wait 30 minutes, I start getting a panic attack and I have to go see what I've got. Oh, my gosh. Or, you know, these computer games, they really make me alive. They make me feel alive. I could play these computer games for 8 hours or more. So I ask you again, what has mastered you? What has mastered you? It could be any of these things, but it could be something that is actually what something people would say, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. So what? Judge yourself. Look at it. What is it that has mastered you? What has gained ascendancy in your life that has you under its power? And a lot of people say, you know, it's like, I need my caffeine in the morning. I need a cup of coffee. Got to have my coffee in the morning. Double latte, caramelized frappuccino, double whatever. It's not so bad, but has it mastered you? Has it mastered you? You know, there's a lot of people that are looking for the ideal appearance. You know, I got to look perfect. Got to look really good. Sometimes I can't get out the door without Mamie saying, you're not wearing that, are you? And it's like, oh, no, I wasn't going to wear that. Or let me fix your hair. It's like, But, you know, these are the people that work out once a day. Sometimes they work out twice a day, you know. And if they miss a workout, then they get all panicky and say, oh, my gosh, I'm fat. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. And you look at them and you say, you got 0.0% fat on your body. What are you talking about? But in their mind, they are. What has mastered you? What has mastered you? These are things that we want to do because what do we want to do? We want to be conformed to the image of Christ. And guess how good the Holy Spirit is? That's when you say, he's really good. Thank you. He is really good, and what he's going to do is help us because he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows what will happen if we continue the path we're on. You know, some people just say, I got a tan. I need this, man. I need to tan. I'm so pale. And then you're looking at him and say, you actually look like a suitcase. What are you talking about? But in their own mind, they have not arrived yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, and here's what I'm going to say. It could be a controversial statement, but I would say that these addictions are simply a symptom of something bigger. A symptom. It's a symptom. And listen to me carefully, because I think it's the root problem is simply this. It's idol worship. It's idol worship. That is the root problem. It's idolatry. We can't live without this. I'm going to do whatever I can to get this, and I'm going to do whatever I can to continue to get it. A great scripture to help us understand this is found in Isaiah chapter 44. You know, money's good. We need money, but money could be a god to you. Money could be an idol to you. Entertainment is good. I like entertainment. But entertainment could be a god to you. And it's something that's natural and it could take over. Just like what it says here in Isaiah. Isaiah, this is kind of give you a background. This is like a carpenter. He goes and cuts down a tree. And then, you know, he does some good things with the tree. And then he kind of like gets squirreled up in his head. Let's pick this up in verse 14. Here he goes. He cuts a cedar for himself. He takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir, and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes a fire and bakes bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes the graven image and falls down before it. The rest of it he makes into a god. This graven image, he falls down, he worships it, he prays to it, and he says, deliver me, you are my God. Save me, you're my God. You know, if it was, you know, today for us, we'd think, that's the craziest thing in the world. You know, we don't have idols like that anymore, but there are idols all around us. People have idols all, what has mastered you? That's the question we want to look at. We want to look at what has mastered you. What have you made an idol out of? Maybe it's the bottle. You know, got to have this. I got to settle down, you know, save me. Or maybe it's the pill. Got to have it. Can't live without you. Or maybe it's food. Well, we like to eat food. And I don't know what church doesn't like to eat food. Amen. I love food. But we don't want it to master us, right? It's the same thing. We don't want to make it an idol. We don't. I like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I am praying that somebody would open one of those in Butler. Like all of Main Street, actually. But then you got to take a look at some of this. What was it? The Iron Chef. Those guys have made an idol out of food. It is amazing. Look at what it says here. We don't. Go back to 18, verse 18. It says, they don't know it, nor do they understand. For he has smeared over his eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot comprehend. What's that mean? They become dull. They become really used to this, so they really can't see the reality of it. They cannot see the reality of it. You know, no one recalls or has the remembrance or the knowledge. Hey, I burned half of this in the fire. I baked bread over the coals. I roasted meat and ate it. And the rest of it, I made an abomination. I fall down with a block of wood. He feeds the ashes, the deceived heart. He's turned aside and he cannot deliver himself. Look at this. Isn't there a lie in my right hand? We got to judge ourselves. Is there a lie in our right hand? Have we become blinded over something that has happened in our lives? Something that has mastered us? Something that has taken control? You know, we like to say, especially here, we want to recognize that it's not just these big outward sins. It could be an attitude, right? You could have an attitude that becomes an idol. You could have worry become an idol to you. You know, what has mastered you? We have to look at these things. You know, and this is a key statement, I think. You know, and it's on your outline here. And it gives a definition. We do need to judge ourselves. We got to see how this plays out in our own lives. Look what it says, idolatry. What does it mean? We are seeking to find what only God can provide in something beside himself. What are we doing? We're seeking to find what only God can provide in something else. So what are you seeking that is outside of God? What are you looking for? Let's say you don't feel alive unless you're shopping. You have the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the one who breathed life in you, and you're looking outside of him for something that will excite you. Or how about this? I feel valued when somebody agrees with my blog. I know. I feel valued when somebody gives me a like on my Facebook. God himself has put a value on you that is far beyond all that exists. He put a value on you of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ping, what is it? They like me. What has dominated you? What is this that we have to take a look at? What is it? What is it? Well, you know, let's don't be like the guy. You know, my life is going so good. Let's see how I can wreck it. Let's see what I can do to wreck my life. Here it is. If you want to If you're taking notes, here's five easy steps to become an addict. Five easy steps to become an addict. Number one, and that's, you know, if you're feeling like, you know, if you keep these notes and you bring them out every once in a while, guarantee you'll wreck your life. Just follow these. First step, step number one. I want to encourage you this. Now, don't admit you have a problem. Number one. No matter what, never, ever, ever admit that you have a problem. You're on your way. Never admit you have a problem. Then look at what it says here. Now, here's the Bible's answer to stuff like this. You know, again, I said it earlier. I said, if you really want to wreck your life, just do the opposite of what the Bible says. You're on the fast track. Look, it says, Jeremiah 3:13, only acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord, your God, and committed adultery against him by worshiping idols. Oh, but you don't want to do that, because that'll mess up your plans and how to wreck your life. And when people who care about you, that love you, start to confront you with certain things, listen, you know more than they do. Don't listen to them. I don't care if there's 20 people who love you that tell you that you have a problem. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Step number two, and how to become an addict. Step number two, this is so important. Look at this. I want to encourage you to gratify your flesh all the time. Just gratify the flesh. When your body wants something, give it to it. If it wants to smoke something, smoke it. If it wants to drink something, drink it. If it wants to look at something, look at it. Look at what the Bible says. But I say, this is found in Galatians. Look at what it says. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Oh, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't do that. You know, it's not good. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen. If you're born again, your spirit has been made alive to God. Yes. And the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. Okay? Now, to keep that keen and sharp, you need to read the Word of God. Not just read it, but then you have to do it. However, we're trying to wreck our lives. We don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to do what it says. We just can't do that. We want to really train ourselves to gratify our flesh. Hey, leave that TV on 24/7. You know what? Throw a tempter tantrum in the chip aisle until you get what you want. Grown man crying in the chip aisle, that's me. Mamie walking by, act like you don't know him. You know those bags of chips are so full of air? You know, listen, as soon as you open them up, listen, you get half the bag or less of chips. How many agree with that? Yeah, and then I open them up and I fold them back up and Mamie goes, "You ate all the chips!" Number one, this is how you wreck your life. Don't admit you have a problem. Oh my gosh. Let's go on. It doesn't get any better here. Look at this. It says, number three, listen to carefully. You know what? Keep these notes, because if you really want to wreck your life, you can bring them out later and you can really start to do this. It says, rationalize your behavior and make plenty of excuses. Really, Mame, half that bag is air. Remember the story in Luke chapter 14? There was a great banquet. The guy had this great banquet, and he starts inviting all these people, you know. And what did they do? They all started to make excuses. They all started to make excuses. Excuse me, I can't come because I just bought some property, and I got to go look at it. You think that property will still be there tomorrow? I do. I got to go check out these oxen I bought, you know, this new John Deere tractor. I got to check it out. Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice. Everybody makes the excuses, you know. Remember, you can still make this excuse too. Hey, well, what I do is, you know, it's not so bad. Look what they do. They call themselves a Christian. I mean, I don't do that. I just do this. And besides, you know what? I deserve this. Anybody heard those words in your own head?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So go back to the idea. Did we write anything down? What has mastered you? What we want to do is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we need to judge ourselves with this. You know? Five easy steps to become an addict. I kind of like know something about this because I was an alcoholic. It's because my sisters forced me to drink. Excuses! Rationalize my behavior. Come on. You see, here's the key. If we don't look at ourselves, if we really don't, what has mastered you? If we don't look at that, this was a time way back in my life, okay? Now, if I would have continued on that, well, she would have been put up with me and I would have been all by myself. And guess what? This building would have been empty. I wouldn't have had a second child. I wouldn't have fulfilled the plan of God for my life. I wouldn't have been banking up eternal rewards. This is why it's important for us to look at these things. It's important for us. What has mastered you? Is it an attitude? We've got to look at things like an attitude. We just, you know, we could blow it all off. Well, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't chew. But where's your attitude? Do you know that the Bible says that six things that God hates, but seven of this, and one of them is gossip? One of them is gossip. So maybe we ought to take a look at, you know, well, no, we're trying to wreck our lives. Let's don't do what the Bible says, you know. And number four, here, look at this right here. Number four, always keep your addiction a secret. Don't let anybody know. Don't let anybody know. Proverbs 28:13. Look at this. He who conceals his sin doesn't prosper. Oh, you don't want to prosper. We're trying to wreck our lives. So keep your addiction a secret. Keep it a secret. But then what does it say? But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Who wants mercy? That's dumb. Things grow best in the dark. And look what it says here, Psalm 32. This. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with a fever in the heat of summer. That's how good our God is. He knows what will destroy our lives. He knows what we're involved with. He knows, and therefore, look what he says here in this. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. What is that? What does that mean? God's hand is laying on you like this? It's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you want that. Now, religion will tell you conviction and condemnation are the same thing. They're not. You want conviction. And the Bible declares there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Okay? But who wants that? We're trying to wreck our lives. Come on. You know what? Keep it a secret. Don't let other Christians know. You know, they might pray for you. They might encourage you in the Lord. It's like what Pastor Mamie said last week. Those know-it-all Christians. Chris said amen. They're trying to bless you. What? You don't need that. You already got your thing to support you. You don't need their help. You got your thing. Keep it a secret. You know? You don't need other people to help you. You're trying to wreck your life. Number five. Listen carefully. This is really important. Depend on your own power. Never God's. Depend on your own power. You know, this series that we're doing is like, again, tongue-in-cheek kind of series, and it's sarcastic, and it's like, if you really wanted to mess us up, you could take pieces and parts of this and say, look what they're saying, and put it on the Facebook and internet and all that. But, you know, this is, it's hard to do this because you're saying something that you don't believe. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't do what the Bible says because you want to wreck your life. No, we want to do what the Bible says because we want to live a blessed life. Amen? Amen. Yeah. But I still say that this is an effective way to communicate. Because if we didn't talk like this, then would you ever judge yourself? No. I mean, who wants to judge themselves? Because you can really find some faults, huh? Dang. But we need to do this. We need to really look at ourselves. You know, like I told you before, I was an alcoholic, a flame-broiled alcoholic. In my own strength, I couldn't stop. In my own strength, I couldn't do it. But you know what? It's God himself. And here's the funny thing. I felt really powerful. No, I felt extremely weak. Extremely weak. Look at what it says in this scripture. Look, I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This should be underlined in your Bible. Remember these things? They work when there's no electricity. Oh, battery's dead. Guess I'll have to get this paper out. Look what it says. For though I live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and to make it obedient to Christ. That's got to be underlined in your Bible. Because that's power-packed. The weapons of our warfare are powerful. They're divinely powerful. And in my opinion, the number one thing for our spiritual weapons, the number one thing, I'm sure there's some debate about this, but I say it, the number one thing is a renewed mind to the Word of God. If you don't have a renewed mind to the Word of God, you can't use any other weapon, because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, then how are you going to use the sword of the Spirit? And you know what that means? You're going to have to put some effort out. Spiritual things don't just fall on you. You have to work at them. We talked about the sower. Sowing the seed. Four types of soil. Only one soil produced fruit. And that's because the person was persistent in opposition that came against them. They were willing to judge themselves, to take the rocks out of their field, pull up the weeds that were growing in their garden. Folks, we have so much more to do with the way we want to live a victorious life than we think. But who wants to live a victorious life? We're trying to destroy our lives, aren't we? It's crazy. But you know, as well as I do, you know people that do this. They do it. Christians. They do it. Jesus, remember what he said? He says, you know, enter by the narrow gate. For wide and broad is the way to destruction. You know, wide and broad is easy. Let's take the easy way. Renewing your mind is a lot of work. Anybody find that out? Oh my gosh, you could get worn out doing it. But if you're persistent, it brings about a peaceable fruit of righteousness, which is like our Father. Yeah. Renewing our mind. The weapons of our warfare. Okay. Renewed mind. Reading the Word. Praying. Fasting. You know, forgiving. Walking in love. These are the fruit of the Spirit. This is really what tells you if you're a mature Christian. The fruit of the Spirit. Not the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Okay? That's how we judge it here at Community Life Church. Look what it says here. The weapons of God, they are divinely powerful for what? What do they do? It says they demolish strongholds. Demolish. They don't break them. They demolish them. This is good news. It's really good news. But again, do you know the New Testament was written in Greek? So we have to look up what that word means, stronghold. What does that stronghold word mean? It actually means a prisoner locked by deception. Locked by deception. It's an old story about how they train an elephant. When they're little elephants, they put that chain around their leg and they drive that stake way deep in the ground, and that elephant tries to get away and it can't. And then when it starts to grow old, what happens is that elephant knows it can't get away. And so now all they do is just drive the stake in this deep, because the elephant's not even going to try to get away. A prisoner locked by deception. The devil is the deceiver. And he wants you to do these things. Five easy steps to wreck your life. Five easy steps to becoming an addict. He wants you to do exactly opposite of what the Bible says to do. Then you become a prisoner by deception. I can't. Well, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I was just born this way. Not if you're born again. If you're born again, you're born according to the actual DNA of God himself. He's made you more than a conqueror. The one in you is greater than he who's in the world. The Bible says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He is like a roaring lion. Bible says that Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. That's in the Bible. Well, guess what? That's a healing scripture. Well, guess what? That's a break free scripture. Well, guess what? That's a more than a conqueror scripture. Guess what? That's a prosperity scripture. Do you know the salvation? The Greek word for salvation is sozo. Sozo. Everybody say it. Sozo. Now say this. I am. Sozo. Kind of like Japanese thing, you know. It's Greek. I am sozo. Guess what? That word salvation is sozo. That's how it's described. That's how in English it's written. But it means so much more than that. It means made whole. It means prospered. That means set on high. It means healed. It doesn't mean I've got my ticket to heaven. It encompasses your entire life in the blessings of God. In the blessings of God. So we've said it, how hard it is to renew your mind. And you have to be tenacious about it. I think Brother Hagin said this. He says, you got to be like a bulldog on a bone.
Yeah.
He says, you know why his face is all smashed in as a bulldog? It's so he can hang on to the bone while he's fighting. Yeah. He can still breathe. Thank you, ma'am. You have to reject thoughts that are not biblical. You have to reject thoughts that are not from God. How many, we all know that we get these thoughts that are just squirrely thoughts in our brains, don't we? Oh, gosh. I hate it when that happens. But then what do? A lot of times what we do is just start playing a movie out. Okay, and then that's going to happen, then this is going to happen, then I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say this, and then this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this. What did we do? We start building a stronghold. What we need to do is say, I reject that thought and I replace it. I take that thought and remove it and I put God's thought in my heart. But wait, most people think, well, I got to wait till I feel strong to be able to do this. You're never going to feel strong to do it. Look what it says here. 2 Corinthians. I don't think this is up. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12, verse 9. Write it down. Paul was complaining that he had a thorn in the flesh. A lot of people think it's a disease. It's not. Everywhere where Paul went, what happened? People rebelled against him, throwing him in jail. They beat him, you know. It was a messenger of Satan to come and buffet him. The Bible clearly declares that. And he says, I asked God 3 times to get rid of this for me. And this is what God told him. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. That's what God spoke to him. And here's Paul's reaction. Renewing the mind. Oh, Paul goes like this. Therefore, I'll boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell within me. In my own strength, I cannot do it. In his strength, I can do all things through Christ. In his strength, in his strength, in his strength. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You know, all this is crucifying your flesh to do this. The Bible says we're supposed to crucify our flesh. We're supposed to do it. Listen, I'm not just talking about just a drug addict or alcoholic. I'm talking about maybe you have a thought life that's really messed up. I'm not talking just pornography and all that stuff. This is where we've got to hit closer to the reality and dig the root up. It's a thought pattern that we have to get rid of, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And Galatians 2:20 says that we are to crucify the flesh. Remember how earlier one of the steps was just gratify the flesh no matter what. Just let it do whatever it wants. The Bible says to crucify the flesh. And then you have to say, you know what it says? This is really spiritual. Listen carefully, because it says this in Romans also. It says, my life is hid in Christ, but it says that I've died and my life is now in Christ, alive in Christ. So when your flesh says, cop an attitude, get back at them. A little bit of road rage, you know, pull in front of them and slow way down. We're crucifying the flesh. We recognize, first of all, that's the mind of the flesh, which is, the Bible says, leads to death and destruction. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. This is where we want to go. This is what we want to live in. Amen?
Amen.
I know, even though I'm trying to teach you how to wreck your life, it's all coming out with what God wants to have happen in your life. He wants to bless you. He is for you, not against you. So we have to look at this here again. What has mastered you? You know, it'd be good just to spend some time alone this week with God and ask Him, what's mastered me, Lord? Help me. I mean, if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you look at it, it's cleaner that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Other than that, we could have a laundry list of two miles long. Yeah. Then if you ask your sister, it'll be 4 miles long. Because we want to be conformed to the image of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we look to you for everything. We look to you for our life. We look to you to help us to judge ourselves. We ask that you would indeed help us as we look closer to find out what has mastered us. And that as we do, Lord, that we understand that we don't need to feel powerful to overcome it. We just need to recognize that we're weak and you're strong. And we ask you to help us in every area of our lives. I think some of the times we need to come back to you, Lord, and just say, hey, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, because I have just let my flesh run rampant. I've allowed an attitude. I've spoken harshly towards somebody. I've done this. I've done that. Forgive me. Start me off fresh, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Another thing I want you to do is understand that, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And your words matter. Your words matter. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would put a guard over our lips, that you would help us in every way. Every way. We want to be conformed to your image. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to empower us to carry on and live out the truth that we are children of the living God. And if you're here today and you've really never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you the opportunity. Because Jesus is the only way to have your sins forgiven. Jesus is the only name under heaven which is given to man to be saved. If you're not born again and you want to be born again, I'm asking you to simply raise your hand right now so I can see it. We'll say a prayer, and then I'll direct you over to the prayer workers over here. They'll lead you and guide you into the Bible. Let you know what the Bible says about it so that you can have security in your salvation. You'll know for sure. Heavenly Father, I ask that this day is a fresh start for every single one of us. Because we don't want to wreck our lives. We want to build them on a rock. And you are that rock. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you for joining us here today.